You got it. Yeah, the world championship mug.
Yeah.
Nice.
Drinking my hot tea, getting ready for bed.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, we're up late, Jack. This is like
very late, yeah.
Way beyond my bedtime.
I have 1 hour.
I'm going to be a pumpkin in about 20 minutes.
No, I was hoping you all would do most of the talking.
Oh, no.
You all got to be awake.
Jack, this is all about you, man.
Yeah, baby. We're going to grind it all out of you. That's for sure. Well, I think we'll quickly just say welcome back to the Triathlon Age Group Journey. And we have Matt, Jillian, and Jay, of course. And then we have a guest this week, Jack DiPaolo. Jack, we met in a very interesting way. We'll get into that, I'm sure, a little bit later. And we'll talk about Jack's life on campus. He's our youngest guest ever. So looking forward to diving into what triathlon in college is like. That, I think, is going to be a unique perspective. I just also think it's really cool that you have started your triathlon journey at such a young age. And I think if you ask the three of us, I'm going to speak for us, we all wish we had started when we were your age. So
absolutely.
We're going to live vicariously through you a little bit.
All right.
At least swimming. Yes.
Yes. Yeah, maybe swimming, learning that.
I wish I was thrown in the pool at 5. That would have been amazing. But
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ah, jeez.
All right. Well, why don't we start off with quote of the week, Matt, and we'll jump right into it and get that going.
Yeah, I mean, new year. I mean, a lot of new goals out there. I know it's been a really busy week for me at my full-time job at the country club with just all these New Year's resolutions. I'm hoping I can do my part to kind of carry them throughout the year as long as I can, along with a lot of the athletes I coach. You know, I think this one, not just in a new year, but every day in all aspects of our life, this one always resonates pretty hard with me. But here we go. Hard work may not always result in success, but it will never result in regret. I think that one's a home run right there. I mean, everybody, don't be afraid to put the work in. You're never going to regret it. That's just the bottom line right there. No matter what part of your life it is, whether it's relationship, whether it's athletic, whatever it is, if you got to put the work in, you can't always guarantee it's going to turn out great, but you're not going to regret doing it. What do you guys think?
You want to go first, Jack?
Sure. Yeah, I think definitely putting in the work now with braces, sort of not really on the close horizon, probably early summer, it's definitely hard to lose sight of the goal, but come race day, whether it be like 4 or 5 months from now, I think hopefully it'll be worth it. But if not, at least you know there was nothing more you could have done on the day or in preparation for it.
How about you, Jillian?
Yeah, I agree. Hard work might not result in success. It could result in frustration, but definitely do agree that at least I haven't, thankfully, had any regrets, because you never know what you can do if you don't at least put the work in.
Mm. Yeah. I don't know if it's coincidence, but I watched 2 Barkley Marathon documentaries. And are you guys familiar with Barkley?
Oh, yeah.
And I was trying to think about just one loop of that race and get your mind around it. And then the 3 loops being the fun run. And, you know, all the documentaries, of course, are covering the folks who are hoping to actually finish the race. But yet, everyone clearly worked their tail off at whatever level. And they may have had regrets as they didn't meet their end goal. But there's no question you'll never be less, or you'll never walk away from that not have learning a lot about yourself. And I think we do get to a point sometimes with racing that maybe we take it for granted, that we're still thinking we're getting a PR, we're getting a time, and maybe forgetting about that there's still stuff you're going to learn and benefit you in the long run, whether it's a healthy lifestyle or even, you know, just getting that one next tidbit that's going to make you better. So I love the no regrets part of it.
Yeah. I think the part of that that really gets me the most is not living with regret. I think that's something that I struggled with for a long time personally, was not saying yes to opportunities that were presented to me, whether it's out of fear of insecurities. Like, I'll be very transparent with that. It's like, I have a lot of insecurities. It's like, I don't want to try something new that I'm not good at. You know, one of the things when I'm teaching people like fitness continuing education courses, one of the things I always do, I mean, I'm in a room of personal trainers, all type A, very much like triathletes. And the way I break the ice in that room is I always say, all right, everybody take out a piece of paper and a pencil. And they all look at me really weird. And I'm like, I want you guys all to write a poem about fitness, and then we're going to read it out loud. And all of them like just kind of cower down. You see their body posture completely change, and they all look at me like, are you kidding? And after about 3 to 5 minutes of letting them stew and just sit there, and you can see the anxiety building on all these individuals, I kind of stop and I say, I'm kidding. But what I wanted you guys to feel was what it's like to not be able to do something, because that's how your clients feel when they walk in the gym for the very first time. A lot of insecurities. And it's like that feeling of, oh my gosh, like I'm really going to have to do this in front of people. And that's hard for me. But one thing I've really tried to do lately is say yes. When people ask me to do something, go do it. Like, don't say no. Don't live with regrets. It's like, eat the cake, buy the coffee cup, go on the trip, take advantage of opportunities that are given to you, you know?
Yeah.
So
I think we have a new segment for the show. We all need to write triathlon poems for next week.
Yeah. Not in my skill set, man.
Oh, man. That's awesome. It's a great
idea. We can all do a haiku, if you know what a haiku is, right?
Yeah. I have to do some Googling.
Yes.
Maybe we have a listener out there that can send one in. Yeah, I'm sure we have an avid listener out there that can send us a poem. We will read it on air. Send us a haiku. I don't know.
Are always good.
Haikus are coo.
I like the name haiku, but I always hate haiku poems because they don't rhyme. And if it doesn't rhyme, to me, it's not a poem. But yeah. You know, I know that haikus are poems.
Yeah.
But they sound cool. Haiku just sounds really cool.
My mother's probably sitting at home stewing. I don't even know if she listens, but she was an English teacher, and she'd be mortified if I was like talking negative about English and grammar and poems. So anyway, yeah.
Well, clearly we have academics on the mind here.
Yes.
All right, Jack. So we're going to break the ice with you here a little bit. Let's just start with some question and answer. We'll break in lightly. Okay.
Tell
us where you're going to school, what year you're in school, and how you found yourself in the school that you're at.
Yeah, I'm a sophomore at Yale University studying electrical engineering. Really, I'm very happy at Yale, and I'd say probably 95% of that is because I found the tri team there and just an awesome group of people. Basically on day one, we pretty much do everything together, travel together to races, race together. And I think that's one of the most important things. Probably, I don't think I could have gotten into triathlon without racing with other people. It seems so lonely doing training, racing by yourself. But yeah, I just love having the team around me basically 24/7.
I think every one of us just nodded when you said it seems so lonely, because we're definitely in that time of life that we really have no choice if we want to do this. We're doing it on our own in a lot of times.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's so cool that at such a young age that you're already finding that community aspect of triathlon, because I think that's something that as I know myself at 45 years old, and I know Jay and Jillian, it's like that's something we yearn for, is training partners, people to get out with. And it became a social part of my life of trying to have weekend buddies. But for you at, what are you, 19? You're 19, right? Yeah, but at 19 years old, to already be filling that part of your life and having that, I just think that's so cool. So really admire that.
Well, rewind a little bit. COVID, you know, we've talked in the past how it's impacted our race life, but COVID for your age and your timing of school and things impacted your life probably in ways that we didn't necessarily have. Tell us a little bit about what was canceled? What, how did it disrupt you even getting to Yale and that type of, and finding triathlon?
Yeah. This is probably, stop me if it becomes too long of a story, I guess. But in high school, I was a tennis player, but definitely the skill was more on the technical aspect of hand-eye coordination and being able to place shots than it was on athletic ability. But my senior season, which I'd planned to end very strong, was completely canceled from COVID. And so I'd sort of increased my running mileage, I guess, and just said, you know, like, let's see how far I can take this. And at first it was, you know, 4 miles and then 5, 6, 7. And I knew how to swim. And I thought, well, I think if I hobbled together a bunch of different sports, I think maybe being mediocre in all of them, I could be somewhat good at the overall sport. And so even before I got to Yale, I said, I'm going to check out the tri team. I Googled it and I said, I'm going to see what this is all about. I ended up delaying by 1 year going to Yale. So it was actually another year that I spent mainly running and for some reason, weightlifting. It didn't even occur to me, oh, maybe I should get a jump start on this tri thing. But I did not hit the pool once, did not get on a bike and much less, did not get on any bike at all, not even a spin bike. But I think it was good for helping my progression from tennis, which I, as I said, I was very technically, I guess, good at the sport, but not very athletic so much. And I think it helped boost my confidence a lot and say, you know, like I can go out and see what this tri team is about without embarrassing myself completely, I guess.
But. So you mentioned you grew up swimming and you mentioned you took up running during COVID just to kind of fill time, pass time. Obviously, I think you know how to ride a bike. I think most of us learned as a child how to ride a bike. Were you a cyclist at that point? Did you own like a road bike or a tri bike, or was that brand new when you okay. Okay.
I guess it'd be closest to a mountain bike, just whatever I used to go up and down the street as a kid. But I don't think I'd been on a bike more than a handful of times, I'd say, during my teenage years.
So that started when you actually got to Yale.
Yeah, we at the time we only had spin bikes once a week. It was when I took over, when my co-captain today, name's Anna, and I took over the club sort of second semester of my freshman year of last year. That's when we sort of reorganized the schedule and started cycling outdoors. And I'd say that's more of where I started training equally among the three disciplines versus it still being mostly a very running intensive club during my first semester there.
So how big is your club? How many members?
We had our roster at this beginning of the season was about 35 people, but we also do have a ton of practices. So it's mostly drop in to whoever wants to show up and not. When we travel to races, we usually have 3 or 4 at half Ironman races, but we have collegiate club nationals this spring, which is an Olympic distance race, and we're set to have 10 plus people come to that. So
do you have to bring your own bike and all your equipment and gear? Or does the school kind of sponsor it like other sports?
Yeah, we do receive funds from the university. It wouldn't be enough definitely to get bikes for everyone, but we have a club coach at Yale. He owns like a multi-sport academy and runs a gym on the side, but he lets us borrow all of his bikes for the team. So that really helps. It's about 10 or 12 wow. bikes that we just get to borrow.
That's great.
For team use and whoever doesn't have one.
Oh, wow. There. So sorry, I've triathlon wasn't a thing in college when I was there. So I'm very curious and interested in how it actually works at the collegiate level. So you guys might actually share bikes, and that's an interesting concept if so, because we talk all about like get the bike fit. How do you deal then if you're having to share a bike and making sure it's fit properly?
We It's for, we usually just go based off of people with similar height, and they'll pass it amongst each other 1 week on, 1 week off. But usually there, it settles down after the first couple of weeks into a core group that looks like they're going to be using the bikes the most, and it gets easier to sort of distribute them that way.
Yeah. And I'm sure some people do come in with their own equipment, and that, I mean,
yes. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's pretty, I know, where I went, did my undergraduate at Elon College, we actually had a triathlon class. At the time of being an undergraduate, it wasn't even on my radar, but it was actually a class that you could take, and they talked about the history of triathlon. You got academic credit for it, and it was pretty cool. Looking back now, I wish I had taken it, along with doing a lot of other things. They actually, part of the class requirement was either volunteer at a local race or complete the local race. Wow. In some capacity, you have to be involved. And, you know, I look back on that now and I'm like, man, I wish I had taken advantage of that, because I think they did, you know, it would have been neat to, yeah. But that, so.
Might have to pitch that to Yale administration somehow.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah.
You could be the first professor.
Yeah, exactly.
Jack, what does a team workout look like? Because I think all of us aspire one day when we can to have a team or a bunch of people we could work out with. So you've got it. What's that like? How do you guys organize it with different paces and different
Running is pretty easy, especially because the Yale club running team is huge. So we sort of join with them, and it makes it a lot easier to have different leaders for different pace groups. Okay. So yeah, we work really well together with them. In the pool, we have 5 lanes all to ourselves, at least when it's short course. Split when it's long course, you usually give the club swim team 3 lanes and we take 2 when it's long course. But either way, we usually are able to divide into good enough subsets to be able to circle swim. And we have a coach on deck helping with form and even teaching completely new swimmers, which I think that's something that's very awesome, because I think swimming is probably the biggest hurdle for a lot of people getting into triathlon. So being open to people who have literally never swum before is great. And the cycling, it's gotten a lot easier in the winter when we do indoor rides. We sort of split off into 2 groups. One, we're only allowed to use our school gym so often. So we keep 1 session close by on the spin bikes in there. But we also have partnered with a local gym that's maybe a 10-minute run away from our campus that lets us keep trainers in there as well. So you'll see a small group of us Zwifting, I guess, pretty often there. But
nice.
Yeah.
I like how he said a 10-minute run away.
I know.
You get a duathlon each bike workout. Run.
A bit longer to walk, but I'm bringing a scooter with me next semester if I want to have that option.
Nice.
A little Razor scooter. So
a question, like when you guys get in there and train, and you said you swim at the same time that the swim team might be there, and you're out there with the run club, is there competition? Like, hey, we're the triathletes. Like, hey, we're the pure swimmers. Like, hey, we're the pure runners. Do they look at you guys like, well, you're not as fast as us? Or do you look at them like, hey, you like come bike first, then run and see how fast you are then?
Yeah.
You know,
I think there's always going to be a little bit of that. Why don't you try running after you've biked? And
exactly.
I think triathlon as a sport, I think, attracts very disciplined and athletic people. So I think we're even in pure sports, we're able to compete on pretty even levels with those clubs as well.
Nice.
That's awesome.
That's really good. And there's so much documented proof when you can work out with people who are specialists and are better than you, right? You're going to benefit from being able to really team up and train like a runner and train like a swimmer. Yeah. Oh man.
I mean, just the camaraderie and the just being with each other. I think the piece that you mentioned at the beginning of like, hey, we do everything together. Mm-hmm. I mean, even the social aspect of being out where it's not about triathlon. That's so cool to have that group, that identity. I mean, it sounds like you jumped right in already being like co-captain during your freshman year.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I don't know. It was that time during COVID where I guess I committed to it even before knowing what I was getting myself into.
Right.
But I don't know.
That's impressive. What is the racing like? Do you guys have to travel very far? Is it local or in your primarily Olympic distance? Or do you do a lot of travel?
Racing is obviously very, very tough just because the funds that we do get from the university are limited, so we have to strategize a bit how we use it. We race several times in the fall within driving distance, small like sprint Olympic races just to get people in the door for the first time. We just take a massive U-Haul with all the bikes and then cram people in cars.
You guys don't ride in the back of the U-Haul?
No, that'd be an option. It'd be a long ride, an hour and a half like that. Then we take advantage of, I guess, local or very close by 70.3s. Atlantic City was the one we did this fall. And other than that, then there's a smaller group that we don't use club funds for. We just sort of go as friends to races that require us to fly to. And stuff, mostly 70.3 races. And then we blow our entire budget for the year on taking as many people as possible down to Lake Lanier near Atlanta, Georgia for collegiate club nationals, which is Olympic and then team relay. And the real team relay, where the four person where everyone does a super sprint, not the one where everyone just does one of the three disciplines.
Oh, nice.
I thought he was going to say they blow their team budget on the end of your party. I was like, all right. Yeah. So Connecticut's, that's not ideal weather. I mean, you guys probably have a pretty long winter. A lot of indoor training, I'm assuming. Like, when do the first outside races start in Connecticut? I mean, I'm assuming you guys have access to some New York races, probably some Jersey races. Is there a lot in Connecticut, or how does that fit with the spring semester, I guess, as far as racing?
Yeah, spring semester is always tough. So we try to hit up August and September pretty hard. Okay. I think we raced three consecutive weekends at the end of August and beginning of September as a team. And then the spring, we'll have to see how it goes this year. There's the West Point Duathlon. West Point Military Academy puts that one on as a last minute qualifier for nationals. So it'll be good to take some first years down to that. And then other than that, it's all eyes set on nationals in the spring before calling it a season.
Will you guys get together in the summer? I mean, I know there are a couple up there in that area, like Muscleman in Geneva, New York. And I know they did Western Mass is another one that Ironman just put out. I mean, are those races that the team could train for and then maybe participate in? Or
yeah, we're set to be done on May 10th. Is when our summer starts, and a lot of people tend to hit up internships and stuff pretty fast that require them to travel. So most of what we'll plan for, we probably plan as a group of friends and just put out there anyone who wants to come join. But it probably wouldn't be the New England area at that time unless we just happen to find ourselves there.
So I have a question. When you guys are racing and competing against other schools, how does triathlon, how do you compete in triathlon? Is it like cross country where you have like a team of your top five that you kind of put up against the other schools and you create? I mean, I'm totally thinking high school, right? I have no idea how this works in college, like a varsity versus a JV or an A team or a B team. And do you like get points based on how well somebody does, or does it take time spread? I'm really curious how that works when you're dealing with three sports and triathlon in general, and then how you get kind of scored or ranked against other schools.
Oh yeah, that's spot on. Well, that's how they rank it. Tough Man Triathlon, which I think was in Stony Point, New York this year. They put on the NECTC, which I think is the Northeast Collegiate Triathlon Conference Championships. and basically all the teams from that region show up and you run as many people as you want, and they sum up, I think, the places of your top three male or top three female, or it might be top five, I don't know, and then lowest scores win, I guess. I don't know how they do tiebreakers, but yeah.
So it is based then on how you did cumulatively over all three sports, not...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep, yes. Yep. And I will add, this year, we are the top... We won the Ivy League championships and came second in the NECTC, beaten by West Point. I think it'll be hard to... I think it's going to be near impossible to top West Point, but... We try, I guess.
Yeah, I feel like that would be a really tough school to go against.
Yeah, they take it seriously.
Yeah.
Is any of this racing draft legal at all? Or is it any of it ITU? Isn't some of it ITU standard that you guys do drafting?
They do have draft legal divisions. We have not stepped into it so much, I guess, because it's usually not as... beginner friendly in the sense that you can be lapped out and stuff like that. But no, collegiate nationals, this has a draft legal race on the first day, but we'll see if anyone bites or anyone wants to do it. But
yeah, that's some scary racing. I've seen some of that. And I mean, those bikes, if you don't come out, I mean, obviously on road bikes, and I've seen some wrecks and that pretty competitive. Most definitely.
Jack, when are the workouts? Are you doing them first thing in the morning? Like, how do you integrate it with school and all that?
Yeah, it's a lot of very, very early mornings. And if we
What's an early morning for you?
It's probably
9 a.m.
waking up around 6, I'd say, probably.
Oh, man, that's sleeping in, brother.
it's early for me. For college students, it's very early.
I understand.
But we swim pretty late in the evening just because that's when facilities are open to us, because first dibs goes to all the varsity sports.
Yeah,
So I was about to say, I could see them training at like 9 p.m., 10 p.m. Because that's when you can get the pool. That's when you can get in the gyms. Yeah.
Yeah. After this pod, Jack's going to change into a Speedo and head out and go hit the pool.
No, we got it in for the day. Nice. Nothing left right now.
Little do you know, he's already sitting right there in the chair in it.
Oh, there you go, Matt. You pointed out but what people were wearing again.
I mean, Verby was wearing spandex the whole time, so.
But I think there's no question, there's a lot of jokes about triathletes and as adults being in bed by 8 a.m. and, you know, don't drink past 8 5 p.m. Yeah. And here we are at 9:07 Eastern. Jillian's during normal hours, but Matt and I are literally falling asleep in our chair here.
Turn into
way
a pumpkin
soon. Bedtime. Yeah. It's all good. It's all good.
Yeah.
So true. What about it in college? I mean, Jack, you obviously, you've chosen a sport that requires a healthy lifestyle. I think about my college experience probably would not have gotten me up to go swimming, biking, and running. No. So you're making quite a conscious choice about a healthy lifestyle, which is really cool.
Yeah. No, I think, again, I think it comes second to wanting to be on the team and just sticking with your group of friends. And it's like, well, I guess if I want to hang out with these people, I got to put in the work. As far as eating, I have to say Yale does really have good options. I went to some summer camps before college and tried their dining halls, and it felt like hamburgers and hot dogs. And that was it. No, those are the only options. And don't get me wrong, we still have those options, but we have a lot more than that, I'd say. So I can't complain there.
I can only imagine what Yale serves. I know my son, when he was at UNC Charlotte, I'd talk to him on the phone and I'd be like, so, like, you know, he's telling me he's having salmon for dinner. And I'm like, the dining halls are serving salmon and here I am at home eating chicken. Like, what is wrong with this picture?
Yeah.
It's just, so I can only imagine they feed you pretty well.
Yeah.
Did you grow up seeing your mom, your dad compete in anything like this? Or what, did you have role models? Did you have anybody you know around you that competed in tri that kind of you saw doing, or was this just something you took on?
Not at all in triathlon. My dad was a soccer player at one of the, I guess, feeder teams to the professional leagues in Italy where he grew up. My mom also played tennis in high school, but didn't play in college. But my dad still runs to this day. I think he's on a streak now of probably 3 or 4 months of running a 10K every day. But he's very consistent. So yeah, I have to try to keep up with him, you know.
See where you get your discipline from. That's great.
It's really good. Really good. Well, we do have, I'm sure, some listeners that are interested in knowing the answer of how in the world did three of us meet a 19-year-old college student from Yale and figure out triathlon. So I think we do need to get into the story a little bit. And Jack, how do you want to start this? You want to just go for it and explain what happened?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the least embarrassing way for me.
Make sure we add anything in to make sure we embarrass you.
We want the most embarrassing story, Jack. Yes. Come on.
The truth is going to come out one way or the other. So.
Yeah. So after my first 70.3, I guess it was one of the last qualifying ones. So there was a massive roll down. I think I was outside of the top 10. I think it was maybe 11th, and took the slot to St. George on a whim, booked flights, everything. And so this was, I guess, only a few months ago, 3 or 4 months ago. I show up and our flight from, I guess I sit down on the flight from Denver to Las Vegas, and I see an older gentleman with what looks like a Hawaiian themed baseball cap, and it said Kona on it. So I figured I was on the right flight, or at least with the right crowd. My first thought was, wow, this is one of those super senior citizen age groupers that's gonna destroy all of us, you know.
Nice.
St. George.
He'll love that.
He thought it was Mike Riley. No.
But I guess our flight was in a holding pattern, and partly, I guess, not super great planning on my part, but my shuttle that was gonna take me from Vegas to St. George had departed only probably 10 minutes after we landed. So not enough time to get bags and make it to the shuttle, because I was 18 at the time, and I think you have to be 21 to rent a car. So that was why I was planning to take the shuttle. But that option, I quickly realized, was I was in a bad situation. And so I was trying to think on the fly of what I could do. And so I went back in baggage claim and found who I thought was the super senior citizen triathlon age group. and I see you standing with, now I know it's you, Jay, standing there. And I think I asked something crazy like, do you know, what did I ask? It was something like, do you know of any shuttles or any way to get to St. George?
You just asked, do you know any way to get to St. George?
Yeah. Yeah.
You were heavily perspiring. Like the beads of sweat were on your forehead, and it was clear it took a lot of courage to walk up to these two guys standing there at the carousel.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think I was sized up for a minute, or probably 10-20 seconds, just to see, you know, if I was going to be a safe option to drive to St. George. And after it was deemed I was not a serial killer, I think you offered, you know, we're going there if you'd like to join our ride. And I happily took the offer.
Well, I asked you a follow-up question. I said, so what did you have a shuttle that you missed or whatever? Because I knew the flight was delayed and the bags were delayed, of course. That's just even more part of the fun. But
yeah,
I think I asked you first, like, how are you getting there?
Yeah. But no, definitely saved my race weekend there.
Let me clarify one thing real quick, though, just to anybody that doesn't exactly know that it was Jay standing with his dad. So Jack wasn't just like, when he says senior citizen guy, he wasn't just
Jay.
He was much older than Jack, but Jay was actually standing there with his father, who is the man that was wearing the Kona hat. I think that's really important for listeners who might not see us to know that Jay was with his dad, and his dad is who Jack is rightfully calling the senior.
And John is actually known as Sherpa extraordinaire. John Kune.
That's true.
He'll be very appreciative that you thought he looked fit enough to be a triathlete.
Oh yeah.
He did a few marathons in his day, and I know he would probably, if he had it all over to do again, he'd love to be racing with me at some point.
The funny thing about this story is I know like John and Jay and, you know, Jack obviously were all now together, and Jillian and I were already in St. George. We're already at the condo and we're sitting there like, you know, I knew Jay's flight had been delayed. We've been texting and I get a phone call and I'm like, hey man, like, you good? Are you on your way? And Jay's like, you're never going to believe this. And I'm like, what? He goes, we picked up the hitchhiker. And I'm like, you did what? He goes, yeah, we got a hitchhiker in the car. And I thought he was joking around. He's like, we picked up an 18-year-old boy from Yale. And I'm like, okay.
Well, not only that, both of us did such poor planning trying to get to a world championship. First of all, we completely didn't know or forgot about the time change between Las Vegas and St. George. We still thought we might make it in time to check in for the stinking race to begin with. And then, of course,
same thing that happened to us.
We got stuck in over 3 hours of traffic for just a lane closure that took forever to get from Vegas to St. George. So, yeah, we were in it together. And we experienced quite a traveling and logistical fear and nightmare getting to the race. So fortunately, if anyone doesn't know this, Ironman does have an emergency check-in. So if you think you're going to miss check-in, give them a call and they'll tell you what time to show up in the tent. And it looks like nobody's there, but they're there checking people in like us who missed.
Yeah.
It's funny you mentioned that about the time change. I can't tell you how many people, Jillian and I had the same problem. We left Vegas at noon and we were like, oh yeah, we'll be there by 2 p.m. And next thing you know, we're like, oh crap. Like, we just lost an hour. And next thing you know, it was 3 p.m. It was terrible. Like, a lot of people fell into that same problem.
Yep.
And you dropped me off at the hotel and no, thank you. And wish me good luck. And at best, I thought maybe out of the thousands of people, we would somehow cross paths again on race day and be able to see each other. But outside of that, I didn't think there was much of a chance of meeting up again. And then it's the next day, and I'm trying to figure out I'm going to get to check in and get to T1. And I realized, looking at the map, that T1 is 15 miles or something away from my hotel. And luckily you had given me your number. So I send a text, you know, hey, Jay, thank you for the ride last night. And is there any way you could come pick me up with my bike and take me to T1? So that was also further bonding experience, I guess.
We creatively packed 3 bikes and 4 adult males in a Suburban, rack, and figured it out somehow.
And your dad, the senior, squeezed in the very back and was sandwiched between all the bikes.
Oh, I'm going to say sorry, Dad, for calling him a senior. But
yeah, he's I'm just following. Oh, geez. And then we had to park so far away and walk down through all that, like all the, remember that? We had to park up by the, off on the other side because they shut down the main parking lot. But
yeah, check-in was challenging for that one. All right, what else? Jack, what's on your race calendar? You mentioned Collegiate Club Nationals, Lakeland near Georgia. Do you have anything else lined up?
We have not booked flights yet, but I'm pretty set on racing 70.3 Puerto Rico
mid-March.
Yeah, it works well with our spring break. So I guess that I'll probably be racing that, Collegiate Club Nationals, and then maybe one more right when I get out of school in May before I start whatever my summer.
I like at your young age, you're already learning the idea of a racecation. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Smart. So I want to backtrack for a second. St. George was not your last race of the year. You had one more victory lap. Tell me about that, because you actually raced, wasn't it 70.3 Gulf Coast down in Florida?
I think Gulf Coast might be in the spring. It was Haines City.
Haines City. That's right. That's right.
Florida. Yeah. No, I went with two other people, capped off the season, I guess, with a PR. But I guess how I compared, my last flat course that I'd raced was Atlantic City, and so I thought before the season was over, I wanted to race another similarly flat course just to see on equal terms how much I'd improved, I guess. So that was the goal.
Now, last year you said you guys did not have a coach for the club, right? And now you do, or now you have one personally?
He does. He's always coached us. He comes to our swims and coaches our swims and travels to us when we race. But he doesn't really set sort of an overall training plan for us. We just sort of ask him to come to certain events and help us coach new people and stuff like that. But the difference was my co-captain and I also recently got a coach that's a bit more involved one-on-one with us in setting our plan. So the big secret is that the entire Yale tri-team training plan is just based around our own training plan. But yeah, that's a new
challenge. Now, is your personal coach affiliated with the Yale team at all, or is that done virtually, or is he local to where you are?
No, that's done virtually. Our coach is Eric Engel, so he was on the Zwift.
Oh, yeah, just Eric Engel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
just he's casually age group, yeah. You know, 70.3 yeah. world champion. Yeah.
Super stud.
Yeah.
Zwift Academy. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So you went from no coach to like a very elite coach. Nice.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, what's that like? I mean, is it opening your eyes to what training looks like? Because it sounded like before there was something you guys trained, but nothing really structured.
Yeah. I think a lot of it too is being able to just focus on putting in the work without second guessing yourself. It was a lot of wondering, you know, am I doing the right things? Am I not? And also it resulted in, when we were just screwing around, making the plan ourselves, doing a lot more high intensity work than probably needed to be done for 70.3 training. So now, you know, when the coach prescribes an easy run or something, it's easy to just go do it without feeling like, oh, I should have done more, or thinking you should have done something else. But no, definitely seeing more brick runs and stuff come up on the Training Peaks calendar, even if it's just very short, easy 2 miles on the treadmill or something like that. But no, I'm definitely learning a lot too from having a coach.
So you're home now. Do you have equipment at home that you're training indoors, or are you just taking time off?
Yeah, no, it's really nice outdoors actually here. I took, right after 70.3 Florida, I took off until the 1st of January. So I took a good 2 weeks off, and this is my first week back. But we have a treadmill and spin bike, I guess, here. But it's been nice enough to work out outside as well.
Yeah. Nice. I forget you live in the Midwest, correct?
Yeah. Right. Kansas City.
Kansas. Yep. That's right. Yeah.
So I got to ask, what was the big triathlon Christmas gift this year? I mean, you're so into it right now. Obviously, the holidays just came by. Was there a gadget? Was there technology? Was there equipment? I mean, what new toys are you bringing back to Yale?
It was actually the sad answer is, well, it's not a sad answer, but I asked actually just for cash gift so I could save up. I'm trying to save up for a TT bike. So nice. I just asked for, whatever my normal, whatever the Christmas gift would have been. I just asked for cash so I can hopefully save up enough for that one day.
Nice. Well, I mean, we might have some listeners out there that might have a TT bike in your size. So, you know, obviously we have a good college student, hardworking kid that if anybody's got a TT bike, they're looking to maybe offload, could be the good recipient of that. Trying to help you out here, Jack. Trying to help.
Yeah. Thank you.
You were 6 footish. I mean, how tall are you?
6'1".
So we're looking at a 56-inch TT bike with race wheels, 12-speed all, you know, SRAM red. I mean, come on.
Electronic.
Help the kid out. Come on, people.
Yeah. He's not picky at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Jack, you're obviously into try, and sometimes when the bug bites you, it bites you for the long haul. How do you see, or maybe it's you're still too early in your college career, I guess. You're at Yale for engineering. Do you, right now, are you looking at kind of taking that degree and utilizing it in, say, the try world? Or what are kind of your, I guess, personal aspirations in coming out of Yale? And then how would do you think you'll continue to incorporate triathlon after post-grad?
Yeah, I think definitely that's something I'm looking at and have looked at. Last summer, I actually interned at Super Sapiens, which, if you've heard of them, they make the biosport sensor live glucose monitoring. So that was a super cool experience. And I think definitely having a triathlon story to tell helped me get in the door there.
Now they're based in Europe though, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. They're headquartered in Atlanta, Georgia, though. They can only sell in Europe right now.
That's right.
Pending FDA approval. Right. So
You interned in Atlanta though, correct?
I was able actually to do everything remotely. I worked on a lot of marketing stuff actually, but it was a very cool experience for sure. I think in the future, I'm still looking at what I'm going to do this summer, but as a first engineering role, maybe software engineering possibly for something like Strava or Zwift. I think that'd be super cool, but I don't want to also limit myself only to try, but it'd be an awesome experience. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Okay. That's cool.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely a sport where technology and innovation is continuing to thrive. And it may be fed off of some other sports that have said, oh, we need to branch out. But it does feel like you're coming into the work world at a time when companies are investing and looking in how to make us all faster.
Yeah, that's right.
Or make us think it'll make us faster to buy.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and very tech heavy, right? So it's not just the physical stuff getting faster, but it's taking that tech and how to really utilize it. So being on the tech engineering side, that's pretty exciting. Good place to be for sure.
Yes. Yeah.
Cool. Nice.
I know my son's a mechanical engineer and he's always like looking at stuff. Like he always jokes that by the time I'm in a wheelchair, he's going to put a pair of zips on it for me. But, you know, and I'm just like, all right. But, you know, just the idea of looking at bikes and just like, oh, I mean, his mind works so much differently than mine of we could do this or we could do that. So it's just, hey, that's what we need engineers for. So,
yeah.
Because triathletes will pay for 5 seconds faster.
Yeah. You're going to go be an aerodynamics design engineer.
That's right.
Track or something. Yeah.
That'd be sweet.
I mean, My son was talking about putting like a seat warmer on the seat for like when it's cold out and, you know, just like underneath that it would just be a little bit of thermal. And I'm like, where are you thinking about this? And it would react with your skin and it could do this and it could do this. And I'm like, who? And now I'm like, oh yeah, it's St. George. They would have paid for that.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely. Definitely. No doubt. All right. Well, anything else? Anybody else? Any other questions?
No, this has been awesome.
Yeah, been a lot of fun.
Yeah, fun.
Well, since last episode, we've started quite a list of people that reached out to us with their race scout calendars, and we got their Instagram handles. We've got a whole spreadsheet together now, and really excited for 2023 to be looking up and seeing who's racing each week. We heard from someone from Slovenia, so internationally, and Ontario, Canada, Hawaii, Idaho, Utah, California. So definitely seeing quite some diversity there. It's really cool.
Yeah.
I think we have some originals too, don't we, Jay?
Regulars.
OG, yes. Right? Yeah. Isn't it OG? Yeah. No, almost everybody reached out said they were an OG. So,
yeah, love it.
It's a growing list. We want to keep hearing more, more from people, and hope we can meet some people at races. So that'd be pretty cool.
You need a kit design. Journey kit design. Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
Nice. You want to be our brand manager?
There we go.
Yeah.
We're only on podcast 10. If we can, get to 20 and 30.
Yeah.
With,
you just got to get that whole Yell team listening to us, man. And we just need to start seeing some. When I start seeing a lot of people from Connecticut, I'll know we've really got the Yell team. You know?
Yeah.
That's good stuff. Okay. Anything else, guys?
Trying to think what's going on. Anybody, any winter races? I know yesterday, me and a group of my buddies, it was actually a lot of fun. I've done this race several times on my own. It's a local trail race here in North Carolina called the Frosty 50. It's a 50K run around Salem Lake in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Having done it many times on my own, I can say yesterday running one loop, 12.5K, was so much nicer. Oh, it was fast, fun, and done. I'm a group of guys that I ride with. We call ourselves Team Sotor, S-O-T-O-R. It's kind of funny. Stands for Suns Out, Tongues Out Racing. And one of my teammates on the team, Royce Scrivano, he's a listener. Royce, there's a shout out for you. But this year, he got T-shirts made for all of us, which was really cool. So we all got to wear those. It's like a dog with his tongue hanging out. So it's kind of funny. But the joke is that anytime we get photo ops, we have to like put our tongue out. Yeah, it was fun to get out and do that yesterday with a couple of my buddies and just get out and do some fast running, which was good. And I don't know. How about you guys? Anything coming up?
I don't have anything planned till March, so I'm just hitting the training grindstone.
Nice.
Yeah. No, just obviously I just, since the last pod, just came back home from North Carolina. So when I was out there, if people listen, I had to do the 5K. While it wasn't maybe what I wanted normally for whatever reason, I just suck at adapting and doing speed work every time I got to North Carolina and I tank my runs. But I think I improved by like a second and tried out the program that we used to train with, does this fancy environment normalization. Basically, it's a, I'll make you feel good that even though you didn't do so well here, it actually maybe was better than you think. So by saying, hey, it was actually kind of warm that day. And so it actually ended up having me tie my 5K PR once it was environment normalized, but I don't like to count that. So,
I'm going to chime in now real quick because I was pacing her and here we are on the track and I'm pacing and the goal was to go out and we're going to run a 19:30. I'm going to keep running and I dialed it in perfectly. So I'm running and I'm kind of looking over at my shoulder to see how close she is behind me. And then all of a sudden she's running towards me and I'm like, What's going on? She had stopped and changed directions on the track. And I'm like, huh? So I like bust my butt to run back around. And I'm like, she lost at least 12 seconds there. And I still don't get it.
I didn't lose that much, but anyhow, so I just wasn't feeling
please,
it.
Please
I,
explain yourself. Oh, it's okay. So you just wanted to switch it to get a new
it
feel.
It felt better running the opposite direction. So I, in the future, we were going to run the opposite direction.
Yeah. And I will say, in hindsight, Matt had noticed that my left, and I've known when I was little, actually, I'd have a bar between my feet because I'm very pigeon-toed. I would trip over myself just trying to walk as a baby. So I had to wear special booties at night. And when I was in high school and did the 100-yard dash, if I was sprinting and actually giving it my all, I would actually end up tripping over my feet because they would the pigeon toe in a little bit. That was super embarrassing in front of all the cute high school senior boys. But going one direction, and it's my left one that angles in. So when I have to go the other direction, it's not as comfortable versus it naturally, especially on a track when you're going around so many circles, it's more comfortable going to the right versus to the left.
Clockwise.
Yeah.
Got it.
So anyhow, well, we're guessing maybe that's why, but I was dying. I needed different scenery. I don't know what it was, but anyhow, so I still.
Well, with the turnaround, you no doubt beat that 5K time. No,
that's what I said.
Yeah. Not the 1930. Yeah. I thought 1930 was a bit ambitious. I was going for 45. But anyhow, so it was fun. Overall, I still was happy with that. And yeah, it's just getting back in the swing. Being in accounting this week has been just absolutely ridiculously crazy. We're closing the books on the end of the year. And then this weekend was volleyball, hence why we're kind of meeting a little bit late. So I appreciate you guys being flexible. The games were delayed by over an hour by the end of it, just from overages. So it was like, quickly rush home, call the son, hey, Caden, go log into the computer and open up email. I got to be ready for the pods the second I get in the door. But yeah, nothing for me, I guess, coming up, just usual stuff. Not till March. I think I'm doing a half in March with a group of girls out here. Yeah.
Nice. I do need to point out, I did stand by my statement. I did sign up for American Triple T.
Okay.
XT. Yep. It's done. It's inked. I've got a place to stay. I got a cabin rented. Like I said, I'm staying right there on the water. I actually messaged one of the contacts at Triple T and told them, I said, hey, we gave you a big shout out. So I know they're following us now, and they were pretty excited about that. And actually, I think they gave us a big shout out on their social media about checking us out. So that was pretty cool. So thank you guys. Yeah. Love that race, and be excited to go back there again. So
nice. Anyone want to close us out?
Jack, have we scared you yet?
No, not at all.
He's like, I want to stay in school forever. No, I don't want to. He's like, I don't want to grow up. I want to be a Toys R Us kid.
Yeah, I don't want to get a job.
Neither do I.
He probably doesn't even know what Toys R Us is.
No.
Oh my gosh.
They were probably just starting to go out of business when he.
the old jingle. I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid. Yeah. Well, man.
You keep that one. I'm sure you'll find a couple Jeffrey commercials.
Yeah. Jeffrey the giraffe. So.
Yeah. Anyway. Oh, man. Well, that's probably a good place to land the ship today. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. You can email us at triathlonagegroupjourney@gmail.com. And then Instagram is @triathlonagegroupjourney. So we'd love to hear from you. Tell us about your 2023 races and even what your goals are. I'd love to help support all of you out there because we're following. We're watching our stream every day and rooting for you. So keep getting after it.
We're here. We want to hear your stories. If you have a fascinating story, we're always looking for interesting guests or somebody new to bring on to the pods. If you know somebody or if you want to tell us about your journey, we'd love to hear it and maybe see about maybe getting you on as a guest because that's what this is about. We're all busy. We're all professionals. We're all trying to help each other out, balance life, balance training, and just be 1% better every day. So love to hear from you.
Professionals at another job, not triathlon.
Right. Yes.
J- Just clarifying maybe that one.
maybe in our own mind at times, you know?
There you go. Fair enough.
Yeah. A boy can dream.
Awesome.
All right.
Well, thanks, guys. Jack, great to meet you.
Thank you so much for having me on. It was a lot of fun. Thank you.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, Jack. Appreciate it, man.
All right. Take care, guys.